You are very welcome to Cawley's Call with me, Alan Cawley, powered by Benetti Menswear, a topical debate show covering all things Irish football, along with 1v1 interviews with top-class sports stars from a wide range of different sports.
It's me that's putting on the green jersey, me that's going to take flak from people to say, you're not even Irish. I was big enough to say, I'm going to take it.
There's many people I've spoke to, they always say, I used to put money on you scoring the first goal, but I've never seen any of that money, though.
And Andy, he says, I want the performances that I got from you in Scotland with you under 16s, not that rubbish that you gave me over in Oslo. Yeah.
Hi everyone, and you're very welcome back to Series 3, Episode 10 of Cawley's Call. Delighted that you can join us again this week. Lots to talk about, and before we get into that, I just want to say thanks for all the messages about Jack Byrne and Niall last week. He was absolutely brilliant, and there was a big reaction to it as well, so thanks very much for that. We have our own guest back in studio this week, our own hero.
Byrne.
Our own Byrne, the real Byrne.
Jeez, I go for 2 weeks, come back, and Paul's like producer of the year over there, like telling people to do this and to do that. Wear the mic. Get closer to the mic. Wear the mic. Now, would you have used the term wear in your day?
Wear the face of someone?
Yeah.
No, we shift.
Shift, okay.
We used to shift. Manny's a shifting shift. I was doing. Here, before we get into that, Stu, I like Jack Byrne, but I love Stewie Byrne. He's back, folks. Now, the boys were great last week. We had a great chat with them. Something different as well, obviously, with his mate coming in. So told us great stories. And I seem to think people enjoyed it as well.
Tell me, what's Jack's pal's name?
Niall.
Is he like the fixer? Is he like if something goes wrong for Jack? I don't mean anything untowards here. I mean, like, if the light bulb goes, does he fix it? Or if something goes wrong during cooking, like, I can't get the tomato sauce right. Yeah, he rings him up, does he?
Yeah, well, they've been through a lot together, so he looks after him. Absolutely looks after him.
We all need someone to look after us.
So, absolutely. But it's good to see you, Stu. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Another eventful weekend in League of Ireland. But before we get into League of Ireland, bit of breaking news today, and this, I actually heard about it yesterday, but there's been more developments today. Kind of caught me off guard yesterday, because funny enough, I was watching the club that we're about to speak about on Friday night, but their manager, who you're very friendly with, Stephen Bradley, has been approached by Lincoln City. And
why would you say very friendly with him?
He's your friend, isn't he? He's not my friend.
I played with him, yeah. I looked after him.
He's not my friend.
You know.
He's your friend.
Well, okay, yeah. Yeah, I looked after him.
Took him under his wing.
Took him.
Like you look after me.
Took him under my wing, yeah.
No, but it's big news, because there's been more developments in terms of the story that he's been linked to the Lincoln job. Michael Appleton just after being sacked. And the latest from what we heard just as we were about to record was that he's been given permission to speak to them. So that's big. Where do you stand on that, Stu, in terms of, I know you're obviously very much the league here and develop it and grow it and a big advocate and all that, as everybody knows. Moving to a League One club as manager, up, down, what do you think?
Well, it's the way of the world. I think you have to accept the fact that having won the trophies he's done here and the job he's done here, he's done an excellent job.
You have to
hand it to him. He's done an excellent job. And if he is, I suppose, as is the same for any player, if you do have aspirations to further your career, and those opportunities come along, they don't come along very, very often, if at all, I would say. Mm-hmm. If at all, there's plenty of players and, maybe a few managers, but certainly there's been plenty of players in our league down the years who never got any kind of an opportunity, and they certainly deserve to get that opportunity. So if it does come along, it's very difficult to say no. The only thing that would keep him here, obviously, is the fact that he's managing Shamrock Rovers, the best run club in the country, mm-hmm. The best resources in the country, and they didn't get handed those resources. They earned that. You know, they built that up. The European thing, which I think I've constantly said this since pre-season and so on. I think that's been on their radar, and it depends on what he wants to do there. But it does all come back to the fact that if a bigger job comes knocking, and is it a bigger job? I don't know much about Lincoln City, to be quite honest. What league are they in? They're in League One.
They're after finishing 17th, they've struggled. Hence the manager getting sacked. But
I'll say it in another way. I think what an awful people will say this, right? They'll go, it's a job in England. It's a possibility to a bigger career. People will say, he's done everything he can at Shamrock Rovers. Now is the best time to get out. They may or may not win the league this year. And you'll get all this kind of tripe. And I'll tell you what I would do. I'd stay for the European stuff.
Would you?
I would.
Okay. Yeah. That's your final
thought. That's more important for a CV, yeah. I do.
Everything.
Yeah. I think they've got a chance, Al. I think they can really get into the group stages of European competition.
Well, I suppose with the advent of the Conference League. Absolutely.
And that's the only reason why I say it,
Everything you had said just up to that final bit, I would agree with you wholeheartedly. And the last bit I think you finished off on before you gave the answer about the European stuff was, if it's a bigger job. It might not be a bigger job necessarily in terms of the club, and if you equate it maybe to Shamrock Rovers, there might be a similar level, whatever the case may be, resources, budget, that kind of thing. But it's a bigger industry and a bigger shop window.
I get that completely. I can't disagree.
And that's
with
the
it.
Reality of it, you know. And as you mentioned there, no matter what industry you're in, if a bigger and better opportunity comes, not just financially, but maybe a bigger opportunity in terms of doors that might open for you to go and prove yourself at maybe a different league, that he could maybe, if he was to go on and do well at Lincoln, all of a sudden he's in the shop window for a championship job. Who knows after that? And you have to dream big. As I say, Stephen Bradley and myself certainly don't see eye to eye, but I would absolutely admire and respect the job that he's done here. And the fact that he's been linked with this job is a compliment to him in the sense of the job that he's done here. If it's a thing that he wants to go on and better himself and further himself, absolutely, I'm all for that and good luck to him. The only kind of little caveat, and that brings us round to your final bit there, Stu, and I would agree with you, is the European stuff. Because there's been many players have gone to League One, League Two and all that kind of stuff, never played a European match. He's the manager of the best club in the country, as you said, and the resources and the budget and all that stuff. They're in a really strong position with a strong squad to maybe achieve something in Europe. I think if it was a thing he's questioning whether to go, that is probably the only thing that might be holding him.
Yeah, I agree with everything you say. I'm going to add to what you just said there as well, okay? If things don't go well at Lincoln, that's it. Mm. Career gone.
In England?
In England, yeah. Yeah, but it's a questionable whether you'll get one back here. Where are you going to go if you leave Rovers here? What job is going to become available for him? So let me elaborate on this, right? Stephen Kenny is the Ireland manager now because of what he did at Dundalk. Mm. Nothing to do with England. Okay, he's now the Ireland manager. Mm. Okay, he's on $500,000 a year. Pat Fenlon got the Hibernian job off the back of what off his credentials from the Shelbourne stuff and the Bohemian stuff, which is a big job. The Hibs job is a big job. We're talking about Roy Keane getting the Hibs job. However, the downside to all this, and this is purely a question for Stephen, and that is, Pat will kill me for this, but this is only my kind of from what I was seeing from the outside looking in. I thought Pat did a brilliant job at Hibs, believe it or not. He got them to two cup finals, and he was loved there. Ultimately, he ended up leaving the role. Okay, leaving the role. I think it was Terry Butch take over in the end and get them relegated. I think he left. He left it when they were seventh. They were in a comfortable position. He left the role because he. I think Pat just ended up struggling with being away from the family, and he hadn't got his wife and kids there, and he just it didn't work out for that reason and that reason alone. I think if he had been settled really well, I think I've always said about Pat would have been the Ireland manager. To be quite honest with you, himself and Stephen have the same, have achieved the same things, and
that's a factor, Stu. The family thing, that's a big.
It's a huge factor. Stephen has to really weigh that up.
Is he a couple of young kids?
Yeah, he's got a family. He really has to look at it. And where's Lincoln? Is it close to any big city? You know, it all comes into play. Mm. It really, really does, and I think he's got more to do at Rovers. Okay. I really do.
Because the example you're giving of Stephen Kenny and Pat achieving what they did off the back of the stuff here, they achieved in Europe.
Well, they've seen in Europe, yeah.
Stephen Bradley hasn't done it in Europe yet. If there was a criticism towards him, obviously they've won everything domestically, but in terms of Europe, if we're saying he has unfinished business, it's the European thing.
Yeah, I've been saying that for a while. Yeah. Like last year was disappointment for them, purely because of how they went out, really, more than that, and how the way they played. That wasn't them. They were better than that, you know. And that's eating away at you for a year. You've got a year to wait to to fix that wrong, you know?
It's a long
and I've
way.
Been there as a player. I mean, the reason why we ended up doing well in Europe was because of the Hibs result against Malta. The hurt before. A team we could have pissed all over. Mm. And we just, for whatever reason, let it slip. And we had to wait a year for it. So I do think that... it's no surprise that any club is kind of, you know, sniffing
it's
around.
It's good. It's good for the league, yeah, as well, no, isn't it? When our managers are getting linked with. Because
absolutely,
obviously, players go away. I'm sure for young coaches and young managers coming up as well who want to achieve, if they see Stephen Bradley progressing through that route, they'll all of a sudden feel as though we've an opportunity, we've a chance. Because for how many years did across the water look down their nose at us and this league being kind of... a bit of shit in their shoe was the perception for years and years. Whereas now you finally feel as though we're gaining that bit of respect, and you see players going across and doing very well and being successful. So if that means managers can be taken from the league and go on, and there's a lot of young managers, as we know, around the league, I think it's only a good thing. I'd be interested to hear actually what some of the Shamrock Rovers fans may think of this, because you'll always get people with the attitude, the narrow-minded attitude, oh, Lincoln, where's fucking Lincoln, and this kind of crack. And but it is, like, whether we like it or not, it's a full-on industry over there. It's a move up.
Yeah, it is. And we do have to realise that, as you say, Al, the game is an industry in England. Mm. It is, you know, and you know, you could be in League Two and there could be 10,000 people at games, rammed pack, you know. The whole week is a huge build-up just to that game. And the same is here, but I tell you, we've a long way to go, like, because we're not getting the fucking fundamentals right. Like, you know, we're still struggling when it comes to certain things. But
we started obviously with the Stephen Bradley story, which takes me on nicely to the game which we wanted to start with. And you're talking about fundamentals and stuff. You're not happy about certain things with the showgrounds Friday night.
The pitch.
The most important thing.
What the fuck is wrong with the pitches in this country? It's not just Sligo. It's every country with the exception of Tala. Every other game, every other ground in this country, I'm sorry, the pitches are not good enough. They're not. St. Kevin's boys have a better pitch than 95% of the league. I don't get it at all.
We're not doing ourselves any favours.
What are we doing? Like, yeah, and you can tell immediately.
Oh, sure, the ball was bouncing.
Players can't pass the ball properly. They're watching their second touch. The ball's coming, it's bobbling, and to be fair to the players, they made a right go of it. Mm. To be quite honest with you, because it was a sharp game. It was real tight. It was, you know, they were in each other's faces. But Jesus, can we not get, like? And again, not Sligo. Talca is poor. Daly Mount is not great. We can do so much better.
That's not good enough. I agree
and
totally.
In a country where. I mean, was it a Sligo company that actually did the pitches for the Russian World Cup? Am I hearing that right? One of the companies that did some of the pitches for the Russian World Cup in Russia were Sligo based, and they actually grew the fucking pitch in Sligo.
Yeah, look,
and brought it over. There's no excuse for it.
I know, we were down there Friday and we arrived early to the ground and the fire brigade were on water on the pitch. So, and they've struggled with it all season. Now, look, I've asked.
I want to make something very clear. I understand there's probably somebody involved at every club who's intimately involved at the pitch, and I'm not trying to have a go at that person. That person, they probably need help. Mm. You know, they probably really need better resources. They're probably crying out for some sort of help with regards to whether it's a particular work they need to do in it. But I'm retired. How long am I gone now?
About 40.
Someone tell
years.
Me how long I'm gone. About 40 years, yeah, exactly. And the pitches are still a problem.
They're probably worse
than what they are when we played. It's
it was,
crazy.
Yeah, you're right about the Sligo company. SIS Pitches has been selected to lay the pitch for the 2018 FIFA World Cup final at the Luzhniki Stadium in Moscow. So there you go, the Sligo.
But what they should do is they should grow a pitch in Russia and then import it back into Ireland.
No, well, we're not. I agree totally, Stu. Like, Jack Byrne even tweeted about it after
that's
the match.
That's
pitch.
Not
all
good
the players. It's
not good.
Like, the least they deserve is a good pitch.
The first thing I saw, I knocked the TV on.
How bad did it look on the telly?
It's the first thing I seen it and going, the fucking pitch. Jesus. People can tell.
Yeah.
Because, do you know why they can tell? They don't, and not having a go at the layman, but when people look at a game, they they don't look and see that the pitch is poor. Like, you know, I can see that because from a player, what they see is the passing is slow, it's cumbersome, there's no energy in the game, and they're going, what's going on here? This looks really flat, like, you know, and it's because the pitch changes everything.
You mentioned Tala, council owned. I met the groundsman up there one day, but there was two or three people helping him. But it's phenomenal. And that's probably the most played on pitch in the country, because there's internationals, women's internationals, underage internationals, Shamrock Rovers. It's a carpet.
Yeah, it's because of in terms of the infrastructure that has gone into the pitch before it was put down, it's been done right. Like, it probably goes down.
It goes back to Stu as well.
Like, hardcore and all that kind of stuff.
Back as well. And obviously we were down there. It's an acceptance. This is my problem, right? If I was the manager of Sligo Rovers, I wouldn't accept that pitch being like
so
that.
I don't want to be ranting, right, but that was the first thing I had a problem with the other night. The second thing I had a problem with was the production, right, of the game, okay? I work for RTE. They're all great people. But fuck me, all I could hear was, na-na-na-na-na is a sex offender. Na-na-na-na-na is a sexist. That's all I'm fucking listening to on TV.
I didn't hear
it. Well, you can't hear it because you're not watching TV, because the sound is picking up what the crowd are singing.
See, the gantry's above.
Of course, but like, I'm just saying that's what people are watching and that's what they're seeing. So what do you do? What do you do?
Tell me.
We have to do something about it. Like, we do have to do something about it. Like, and to be quite honest, like, I'll bring myself into it. Sometimes I'm fucking shitting TV and I'm fucking sick of listening to myself as well. Like, you know, it's just everyone, I think, needs a good kick in the hole. We all need a kick in the hole. Look, I'll tell you what we're going to do. Do you ever
I don't know whether to laugh or cry.
Do you listen to mindfulness sessions where they'll go with, breathe in and breathe out. I'm going to say that, right? You breathe in. Everyone who's listened to this show, breathe in and kick yourself in the fucking hole.
Where have you been the last little weeks? I need a break.
Come on.
I need to pause the show. We haven't even spoken about football yet and he's gone mad.
But that's it. That's like, I watched the game and that's what I took away from the game.
Okay, well, I'll tell you what I thought. Yeah, look, all that I agree with you. The game itself, Shamrock Rovers, it was a carbon copy of the game I was at in Talca Park about 3 weeks ago, where it actually just became too easy for them, Stu. They were in total control of the match. Sligo Rovers played a system trying to match up with them with Horgan, literally man mark and Jack Byrne, and the box that they like to play, and they had no wit. The fullbacks were being isolated all night, Shane Blaney, and who was on the far side, Lewis Banks. What helped them in the second half, and I was kind of questioning this, saying, you're at home, fair enough you're going away from home and you're a bit more pragmatic in Tala, but you're at home in front of your own fans. Come out and have a go and get in their face and get at them.
Yeah.
They sat off and paid them so much respect. And Shamrock Rovers are a good team, we know that. But I don't think they're good enough that you have to sit off them for the whole 90 minutes. Take the game to them. So Shane Blaney got injured and it was an unlucky injury, but it actually helped Sligo Rovers massively because on came Robbie McCourt.
That's what made the difference, yeah.
And Robbie McCourt came on, and Robbie McCourt likes to get forward, and there was a passage of play then where Lee Grace played a square ball, and it was a silly square ball because they came so lax, Shamrock Rovers. Nothing was happening for the first 20 minutes of that second half. Played a square ball, got intercepted. Sligo had a bit of a half attack, and then all of a sudden the crowd were up. They brought on the young lad Heaney as well. Played a lovely pass, added a bit of life and a bit of energy to it.
Yep.
All of a sudden, the crowd were involved. And if anything, once they scored, Stu, they probably could have went on and won the game until Buckley was sent off, because they were in the ascendancy then. So from Shamrock Rovers' point of view, yes, they're very good. Yes, they're the best team, all that kind of stuff. But they just don't kill teams off. And it's now, they got away with it tonight in Talca because Aaron Green got the late winner, but this has happened two or three times.
Yeah, I mean, I think Aaron Green's gotten them out of trouble a good few times. Like, I mean, I'm not too sure why he's not starting games as much. Strange, but I think they're lacking a little bit. I know it's a little bit like Man City, isn't it? They don't tend to have an out-and-out sort of centre-forward kind of thing. And Gapney does a lot of work off
outside the ball.
And I think they want him to do that because he's you know, like you say, he's dragging centre-halves out of positions, the likes of Mandrio and Towell or whatever, whomever can kind of get into the box. But that seems to be their problem at the moment, Rovers. And, you know, well, look, it's a first-world problem, really, because they're still in a very, very comfortable position. I still think Rovers will iron out any issues they have. I still think they have the ability to go into the transfer market in the summer.
But that's an area where...
The but now is obviously will the manager be around to do that.
Yeah.
And the biggest but is Derry are on one. They've...
Well, the response from Derry...
They've responded, they had their little in blip, spades.
And I think they scored 11 goals in their last two games because you quickly go to Derry and Pats. That was an unbelievable result. I didn't see that coming. I actually fancied Derry, but I didn't think they'd hammer them 4-0.
Yeah, apparently I didn't see the game. I saw the goals, which are, you know, extremely well taken, but you have to really... I don't know. I might have mentioned to you the UCD result that Pats got a couple of weeks prior. I mean, they got out of jail, to be quite honest with you. And they didn't seem to heed the signs there and looked completely second best against Derry. Derry, by all means, were supposed to be probably their best performance of the season.
That, yeah.
Now, when you're doing that off the back of, you know, some poor results, that's what you want in a response, you know, and they're at it now. Like, so there's no doubt about it. We're looking at a head-to-head with Rovers.
Well, they're playing them Friday week. It's just been announced live game on TV as well, the 13th. You won't be working on it after what you just said.
Yeah, I don't give a fucking shit anymore. I genuinely don't. And I'll probably be giving this up at the end of the year anyway, because I'm sick of talking to myself.
But that game is on Friday week, so that's going to be a huge game. And
I have a contract, by the way.
That game is on Friday week, a huge game. But... prior to that, obviously, I think Shamrock Rovers are playing Finn Harps this Friday, so you'd fancy them. Even though Finn Harps will come to that, too, because Shelburne, your old team, are struggling. They got a late winner against them on Friday night, Finn Harps, and that's a bad, bad result, so it is.
Sorry,
Shamrock Rovers are home to Finn Harps.
Something wrong with the audio on my headphones here.
Whereas Derry are home to Bohemians this Friday. So there's big games coming up, always big games. But just in terms of, I suppose, before we move on, you have to be impressed with that Derry City stuff.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you.
To Inchicore win 4-0 is big.
They're always going to, like, you know, we'll always mention you're always going to hit walls throughout the season, whether it be injuries, suspensions, tiredness. The fact that to win a league title is a marathon, and you know when you run a marathon, if anyone ever has run a marathon, you go through all sorts of.
You've run a marathon as well.
I've run a couple of marathons. Yeah.
Right, tell us about that.
Run the marathon. Well, my knee is fucked now from running marathons.
Analyze that one as well.
Nothing.
What was the surface like? What were the roads like?
Nothing will test you psychologically. Nothing will test you psychologically more than running a marathon.
We were ringing the county council
in the news
and giving out
in the news. That was the hardest part. Doing the news was very hard. it tests you psychologically, physically, sexually. I don't know why. Paul, can you leave the room, please?
He's drunk. He's actually getting very giddy now. You're getting very giddy.
No, it'll test you mentally. And the fact that Derry have responded to the blip tells me that, you know, they're in it now. That's it. They've kind of learned how to cope with hitting poor form. They can bounce back. They have the players to do it. And they've got who? I mean, Duffy to come Wednesday. Yeah. What's the ETA on Duffy? I imagine it could be midsummer, late summer.
I think so.
Which could be perfect.
Yeah.
In terms of getting a player of that quality back.
Unbelievable. Best player in the league, Duffy.
Yeah. So it's just okay. Rory just has to kind of manage it now, like, you know. And
It's good for us, Stu, in some ways, because you look at. After that, right, yeah, the league has nearly been broken down now into three kind of... You have Derry and Shamrock Rovers. Then you have four fighting for that European place with Dundalk, Sligo Rovers, Pats, Bohemians. And then it opens up another little gap to the bottom four. And this is where Shelburne won't be happy to see themselves at all. Now, I felt it would be kind of mid-table. They're right in it. Drogheda, Shelburne, Finn Harps and UCD. Now, UCD, you can nearly say, are gone already. Would you say that? UC are gone.
There's no way UCD are gonna
close. So then you have Harps, Shelburne and Drogheda with only 3 points separating them. Now, I think they're due to play each other in the next couple of weeks as well. So a couple of games, a couple of big games coming up down near the bottom. But to lose again up and their away form has been very good. It's the home form that has cost Shelburne, really. But to go away and to lose, obviously... to Finn Harps, one of your rivals who you're going to be fighting them, that's a bad result.
Well, I think they'll definitely look at the two Finn Harps games and the UCD game I think it finished the draw. I think it was 0-1 all.
Yeah, because Finn Harps beat them 3-0 at home, didn't
they? Exactly. And I think that the 3-0 home defeat to Finn Harps was definitely seemed to be a watershed for them, because it was a turning point for them, because they reacted. They did. And they did very good performance against Shamrock Rovers. They went and bet Derry away. So it certainly...
Well, their last five games, Stu, they've lost four and drawn... won one. And that was the Derry one.
It lifted them, yeah. And then they went into the Bowers game and they were just second best on the day. I just felt against Bowes at home, I just thought they were too open. I think that's why they're good away from home. They're a little bit tighter when they play, a little bit more cautious and a bit more difficult to beat, and that's why they've been getting good results away from home. Obviously, when it comes to Talca Park, they're probably trying to play their own style, their own expansive game, and probably a little bit open, and they're getting caught. You know, I thought the Pats game, the first game of the season at home, nearly identical to the Bowes game, really. It's just being punished for mistakes and so on and so forth.
The Sligo Rovers at home on Friday. That's a massive... Well, every game's a big game, but just coming off the back of the run of form, three defeats on
the
spin.
I think psychologically they'll cope with it all. I think there's a good camaraderie about the group. Like, they're not getting ahead of themselves. Like, you know, you can kind of sense that in them. I don't think they'll panic. I see it being like, if you look at the situation, maybe Bowes sort of found themselves in a couple of weeks ago, I'd say they were panicking. I wouldn't say they were comfortable where they were at all. I know Keith Long was certainly getting very agitated by it, and I think it wasn't a comfortable situation for them, but they've gotten themselves out of it now, and they look now they're certainly, considering the form of Pats and Sligo ahead of them, they're well placed to jump ahead of them too all of a sudden. And it's amazing what a couple of weeks, the difference it makes. But for Shells and Drogheda, I don't think they'll look at Finn Harps and UCD behind them and just say to themselves, we just need to keep them there. But
I think that's exactly where they're looking, Shu.
But
do you still think Shelburne are looking up the table?
No, no. What I'm trying to get at is that it's a bad thing to get into this kind of psychology that
you're just trying to stay
ahead of. Yeah, because you know Finn Harps are well capable of putting a couple of wins together. Now I know they'll probably when you look at their form so far. Let's have a look here. What is it?
Well, they've lost five games. They've lost three, and that was a huge win.
So they're struggling to win games. Yeah. They're struggling to win games, and so lost seven, drawn four.
They've only two wins all year. Yeah. I watched them, dear, and the two games are against Shelburne. They're the ones you need to be winning. It's the teams around you.
Well, of course, but
I watched them a couple of weeks back, Stu, and they were awful. They really were. That surprised me. Now I thought Shelburne would at least get a point out of that.
Well, it's a goal. Did you see the goal?
Yeah.
It was just like a corner. Yeah. Like, I mean,
great finish.
Shelburne of everyone behind the ball. Breaks out to McNamee. He was 22 yards out.
And he's the only one with a bit of quality that can do that in that squad.
Yeah. Just, you know, I think he managed to avoid the attention of someone, which is not great from the defensive point of view. But really, it's a good finish. It's a good strike from him.
The Drogheda one I'll allow, because Drogheda got hammered on Friday night. This is where kind of the squad stuff catches up on Drogheda, and they've been playing a couple of lads that were injured. The part-time stuff, I know from even chatting to Kevin, like, it was just a case of he almost felt it just caught up on them because they were on a good run. And then they got caught last week at Sligo Rovers with the late goal. They did well battling with 10 men, and then they got caught out with the late goal in injury time. And he was annoyed over that because the lads worked so hard. The one the other night, he said Dundalk, to be fair, I think played very, very well. And Dundalk, there's one, Stu, who we're looking at the table.
Yep.
Stevie, they're ticking along nicely, Dundalk.
I think this is a pattern for the season, Al. I think take Derry and Rovers out of it, okay? And I think any one of the remaining six could nearly finish toward at this stage. Okay, maybe I might, you know.
No, I'd go...
You look at Dundalk, Sligo, Pats, Bowes.
Yeah, I'd go them four.
They're going to flip-flop all year. They're going to flip-flop all year. They'll be up and down. I just don't see, the top two are the top two for a reason. They've been building for a few years now. They have that consistency. You won't see them losing too many games, neither of those two.
Now, because the four you mentioned, I didn't really mention much about Sligo. I was so disappointed with Sligo Rovers the other night. I know they got the late goal and everyone left the ground happy that they got the point against Shamrock Rovers. But honestly, like, for the resources and everything that they have, they're an average team at best, Stu. Average. And nothing's been built on from where they were last year in terms of them getting Europe and looking at the team, and no one stands out. There's no one you'd say, yeah, I really like him, really like him. He's the makings of a really good player. He's really kind of improved the team. It's all samey, samey.
But you know, isn't it funny? Despite that, you know, you look at the crowd, and I thought there was a good home following.
I thought there'd be more at it.
Did you?
Yeah.
How many was that, by the way?
I think it was only 2,500.
Was the stand behind the goal half empty?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you know what happened there? No, that's strange for no, a Rovers like, and Sligo Rovers game.
Yeah, it was. That's why I'm saying I thought there'd be more. Now, the stand on the far side, both sides were full. But I think something because of the fact that it being a Friday night as well, they're obviously so used to the games on a Saturday, and the fans, once you have creatures of habit and the Saturday night is their game, there might have been something on. Even one lad who's involved in the club told me, people, and you never even think of this, people who work late night shifts and all, you know, and 4 to 12s, or you're kind of out. That rules you out on a Friday night, like that. So I thought there'd be more at it, but just in terms of the team themselves, like, it was only when the young lad came on and added a bit of life and energy, and it's all like I watch Bowes, and people say, well, Bowes, yeah, at the moment, kind of, they're struggling. They've two or three players who, when you get the ball, they light up the game, like Bert.
And they've quality.
I'm looking at slide. There's no one does that. There's no one gets you off your seat. There's no one with a bit of quality that you're going to say, get him in the game. He'll change the game for us. He'll create a chance. He'll score a goal. They've no one like that. No one.
Yeah, well, obviously they've lost. They've lost, you know.
Well, they lost young Johnny, and he's hard to replace. But what they've replaced him with, I know the lad scored the other night. Didn't get a kick of the ball.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, Sligo, I mean, when you look at the league table, we had a look at the league table 3 or 4 weeks ago, we would have seen Derry Rovers, Pats and Sligo Rovers basically within, I don't know what, it was a 7 points, 6, 7 points, it was very tight, like, you know, and all of a sudden it's just completely stretched out. And you look at, and what Sligo are going through, Pats are going through something similar as well.
Pats are struggling as well.
It's like a lack of belief or something has gotten into the team, I know, and this can happen.
Well, Liam mentioned something before the match, and it caught me eye straight away, and he says, oh, well, look, Shamrock Rovers are what they are and the best team and all. And then you have Derry. And he says, then you have the rest of us and it's much of a muchness. That's an acceptance to me that, oh, that's where we are.
Yeah, but you're going to get that from every manager now. All the managers.
Why are they striving to be the top?
Well, I don't have to ask Liam Buckley that. But like, yeah, that, you get that all the time.
I'm not saying it should be winning leagues.
It's a preservation thing. You know, managers will always say the same shite. Like, you know, to be quite honest, I can't remember the last time a manager came out and said something of interest. Like, you know.
I just look at it, and to be fair, like I'm not just being critical of them. Pats, as you say, have struggled. Bowes have been up and down. I still think Bowes have the makings of a good team. I really do, and I think they'll get stronger as it goes on. Dundalk have been very good with Stevie going about his business quietly, so it wouldn't surprise me to see Bowes and Dundalk all of a sudden break away even from the other couple.
Well, I tell you, it'd be a damning indictment on the other on Sligo and Pats if.
So we'll see how
in
it plays
a couple
out.
Of weeks Bowes and Dundalk ended up leapfrogging because they were miles away, you know, and it's you'd only have to look at their capitulation as being the main reason why all of a sudden Derry and Shamrock Rovers have completely pulled clear. What are they, 6 points clear now? Both sides, obviously. Derry are nine clear Dundalk, yeah. But you look at Rovers. Mm.
It's my own view, as I say. I just think it's just ticking along. There's no real kind of like, this is where we're going. This is what we're going to achieve.
Say how you feel. It's your podcast.
Yeah, that's what exactly. Yeah.
Say, this is my fucking podcast. Say what I want. All right? You don't have to listen if you don't want to.
Okay. UCD.
Like me, I don't listen to myself anymore.
Do you know? You've had enough.
Had enough.
UCD, yeah. Obviously, UCD are struggling. Lose 3-0.
I thought you'd be back in the college.
They might bring me back.
Might bring you back.
Do a few lectures. But good win for Bohemians, to be fair. The Bohemians one is funny because you still have people giving out yet. I'm looking at their form in recent weeks. And bar the Shamrock Rovers match, now I think the couple of draws have really frustrated people, particularly that Finn Harpson when they were down to 9 men. That was a bit of a disaster for them. Because Finn Harps are poor with 11, never mind 9. And the draw with Drogheda as well, the UCD one. I think it's the draws that have really frustrated, because the only games the Shamrock Rovers have lost have been Shamrock, or sorry, the Bohemians.
With Bowes.
Yeah, the only ones they've lost is Shamrock Rovers and Derry.
I think Bowes, again, you know, we allude to the situation that we were in 3 or 4 weeks ago. I think Bowes were looking at it going, we're getting stretched here. Our people are pulling away from us, and then, but they've turned it around. Like, and you know, I know Keith Long was it last week? I think I wrote about this on Friday. He was just giving out a little bit about the signings he's made, and
he was very critical.
He was, yeah, and I don't know whether he's being critical of himself or whether it was the fact that he just couldn't get in the players he wanted to get in, or maybe it's a shot across to the bow of the players he did bring in to say, yeah, get your finger
that's
out.
What I felt.
I need more from you. That's fine though. I don't know really issue with that, to be quite honest. I don't think that's throwing any players in the bus. I think it's just his way of maybe saying, listen, I need more out of you, you know. But again, you know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, it's a frustration situation. The crowd are getting a little bit uptight about it. Manager's getting a little bit uptight. Team isn't playing as well as we know they can. They're losing games. They're getting beaten in the last minute. You know, the Derry result was a real kick in the nuts for them because they were winning 1-0 and it turned around and they got beaten 2-1. So, frustrating time, but look at the table now and 2-3 wins and they're all of a sudden they're in European spot.
And that's where they're challenging for, and I think they're exactly where you kind of, and this is the thing about them. I'm looking at them and there's the makings of a team, I think.
They're good. Yeah, they're, I think they have a very strong midfield. I think the likes of Bort, Ali Coote and Dawson Devoy,
excellent.
They're as good as any other midfielder in the league. I mean, midfielders in the league, they're very, very good. I just think, you know, in order for them to improve, there's a little bit of balance there that needs to be met.
Junior started scoring. And Junior is filling big boots, Joe. Big, big boots.
How what size boots would he be filling?
I'd say he's trying to fill size 10, would it be, Georgie Kelly?
I'd say you're closer to 11.
Size 11.
Georgie Kelly, how are you? Friend of the show. Friend of the show. As Anton Deck says, friend of the show. How are you?
Not too bad, lads. How's things?
I'm good. Stewie's here. He wasn't here the last day. He came in just for you.
Hey,
tonight,
George. How are you?
Not so bad, Stewie. How are you?
What they say about people with size 11 boots? Big boots, big brain. I heard you have a big brain. There's a rumour going around.
He has a big brain.
You do have a big brain. Good man yourself.
Georgie, it's an absolute pleasure to have you on. We couldn't have picked out a better time. And once you got that goal on Sunday, I says, Georgie will be talking to us during the week. What a goal.
Yeah, it was scenes, wasn't it? Jesus. Mad way to make your debut, like, isn't it? Fucking hell.
Well, at what point, Georgie, did you know? Because obviously, I suppose, take us back to the start since you've gone away. How have you found it, first of all? I know I listened to a couple of interviews afterwards and you were just saying about just getting up to speed. It's taken a bit of time maybe to transition from our league over to Rotherham as well. And now you're in the Championship, gaining promotion. How difficult has it been, I suppose, since you've gone over?
It hasn't been straightforward. Like, I picked up an injury I was just kind of getting up and running. And because of the big layoff between the end of our season, the cup final, and you know, the start of February, it's 2 months maybe more without any training. So it was always going to take me a while to get up to speed fitness wise. Mm. But then just as I was getting there, then I done my calf again. It was the same injury as, you know, before the cup final where I done the, but nearly put me out for that. So that was a bit of a nightmare, like, and set me back. And I only just got back then, probably about a week and a half ago or 2 weeks ago. So there was a push on then to try at least make an appearance, make my debut before the season ended. And I probably, to be honest, I probably had kind of accepted myself in my head that I probably wasn't going to make an appearance. You know, like, games were tight and tense and I was going down to the wire, so I didn't expect them to throw me in, to be honest, in such an important game. But yeah. Lucky how it ended up.
Oh, absolutely brilliant. Yeah, it's funny you say that you almost kind of resigned yourself to the fact that you didn't think you would. And would that have left you feeling then, Georgie, coming back here, that almost feeling like things aren't going the way I want them to go, or would you have still come back fairly happy with where things are at?
No, I would have been still fairly content. You know, and just because I came on and scored a goal doesn't mean, you know, everything's all rosy, you know what I mean? I still have a load of work to do now and to try and get to the level that I probably need to get to, because I am probably a good bit off yet, especially championship level, never mind League One. So we'll see how it goes. Like, we'll give it a good bash now in pre-season.
What's been the big difference, Georgie? You know, just from, it doesn't have to be like in the games, just as a professional footballer, your week to week, what have you found has been the big difference maybe, or what's caught you off by surprise?
There isn't that much. Like, I would compare, trying to compare it with, you know, with Dundalk at the time when we were essentially in the mornings and, you know, you had your whole day kind of. To be honest, there's not that much. You know, you're in early in the morning, you do a bit of maybe analysis, and you go out to train and then you have a bit of gym after. It's the League of Ireland's probably caught up quite a lot in recent years in regards to how clubs do things over here. So there's no, in that sense, in regards to the transition, there wasn't a big, I didn't find a big difference now.
And Georgie, just, I suppose, with Rotherham as well, because Paul Warren is one of these managers kind of up and coming. He's done a great job since he's been there. Obviously, Hamshaw as well, who I know. I never received any check in the door. Was I not due something throughout all this? No.
You drew a commission? Is that you're up for 10%?
Yeah, well, if do we want to let this out to the listeners that I played a big role in all this success, Georgie? Will we let it out of the bag?
Fire, you can explain it, yeah.
No, I used to play with Hamshaw and Matthew Hamshaw at Sheffield Wednesday. They got in touch with me and I says, you better take Georgie Kelly. So I played a small little role, Georgie. But just, I suppose, in terms of Warren, I think people think very highly of him. I know he's your manager now, but you mentioned here in terms of, I suppose, that we've caught up a bit, but just his attention to detail and stuff, apparently he's really, really good.
Yeah, Warnie's great. His ability to, he's an emotional guy. I don't know if you've heard any of his interviews, but he's really open and honest, and that resonates with a lot of players, like, rather than this typical kind of facade that you'd see with loads of managers and where they, you know, they wear their ego on their sleeve. Like, he's more honest and that comes across in this team. Like, we're a high pressing, high running team who, you know, work. We've overachieved. Like, if you look at our budget and in comparison to some of the teams in that league, like, it's a tough league to get out of. Jesus, see, I couldn't believe it. Like, the standard, no matter who you play against, it's difficult.
I heard that interview you gave. I don't know who it was with, but on Sunday, where you were, I think you went back to the first game against Morecambe, and you thought, oh, here we go, Morecambe, 3 points, and you were saying that they were really good. And like, if you look at Sheffield Wednesday, Sunderland, massive clubs, Bolton, Portsmouth, huge clubs in that league, Wigan,
yeah, Ipswich, yeah, there's loads, like, big clubs. Like, even me, just got one of the big differences you talk about, kind of comparing the League of Ireland, like, that's League One, and even just going to the stadiums.
Yeah.
Like, that's a huge, huge difference. Like, even where were we? And I was thinking, Wimbledon, like, a great little stadium. And I was just thinking, like, this is what the League of Ireland needs, like, small, little, compact, but high-quality, modern stadiums. That's the massive kind of, I feel, a big gap at the minute in the League of Ireland. Like,
yeah, because we started the show tonight, George. I'm not sure if you're aware, but Stephen Bradley's been linked heavily with the Lincoln job. And, of course, they were in League One. And I suppose the point we were making, of course, Shamrock Rovers, the biggest club here, the most successful in the last kind of recent 3 or 4 years, and he's done a great job. But just the lure of going across to an industry is the way we were putting it in England. And you mentioned here, like, there's no comparison when it comes to facilities, resources, all that kind of stuff, and him putting himself in the shop window as such.
Yeah, 100%. Lincoln have actually just taken, speaking of Lincoln, they've actually just taken our head of S&C. He's just left to go there, and he's done an unbelievable job with us. We're known kind of for our physicality and fitness and stuff. So they have big plans. Like, they're not, I think they were challenging for promotion last year, and then they fell off a little bit this year. But like, I wouldn't be jumping the boat looking at where they finished and assessing them as a bottom of the League One team. You know what I mean? They'll be, once they get their kind of checks and balances in order, they'll be right up there. Like, and probably a huge aspirations to be a championship club now in the next few years.
There's obviously... go on, Jordy.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
There's obviously a couple of Irish boys there, and of course, Ogbeni, who everybody has kind of grown to love since he's made his debut with Ireland under Stephen Kenny, and he's become a bit of a hero for the national team. But just the fact that he's there, was he much of a help to you when he went over initially?
Ah, yeah, Gio's great. As you probably heard from other people, whatever, I hear Seamus Coleman on about him, but he's a great, great lad. Jesus Christ, he's as honest as the day's come. Like he's, he was great. He was great for me as well. Even just to help with the transition. Like I was the only signing in January, and it's obviously not easy coming into a squad, a fully made squad who have been playing all year. But having Chio and JJ's there as well made the transition easy enough. Like, but all the lads are great. Like it's a good. It's a great bunch, a great group of lads. Like, Chio's dead on.
So what happens now, Georgie? Obviously, you get promoted. There must be huge excitement over there. I kind of know the area a little bit. So there must be huge excitement. I know they dropped out of the championship, but to get back in it now, it must be, as I say, there must be over the moon with how it's gone. But just from your own point of view, is the celebrations over now? And you mentioned that you have a lot of hard work to do in the summer.
Yeah, there might we have a whatever a parade and that now to tomorrow, and then the chairman's, you've probably seen the chairman's taking the whole squad to Vegas for a few days.
And are you not getting invited to that, Alan? No,
I'm the surprise. I'll meet you over there.
Did not realise Alan was involved in your promotion? By what? Tell them again. Tell everyone that's already going.
Georgie, I read today that you're not going to Vegas. Please tell me that's not true.
Not going.
Georgie, good man. No interest in going to Las Vegas. Good man, Joe. I'm delighted. I knew you were an intelligent fella.
Why is that?
I have exams. I have exams now. I'm still finishing the master's. So I have exams this week and next week. So
okay.
What can you do?
Because I was going to ask you about the education stuff. Obviously, the last time you were in here with us, you were finishing off the master's. And I was wondering what happened then when you went away. Were you still able to do assignments while you're away? Or is it still ongoing?
Yeah, they were great. In fairness to them, they just made it real flexible for me and let me call into classes and set up Zoom calls and let me submit things online. And I had a flight over and back a couple of times, but because I wanted to get it finished. Like I was only a couple of months left, and I didn't want to postpone it. I could have postponed it for a few years, but I didn't want to do that. You know what I mean? So. To get it wrapped up and to get it finished now, I only have a couple of weeks left now, as I say, in these last set of exams. So delighted with that, Jesus, to get it cleared up.
Like, what are you doing your master's in, Georgie?
It's in renewable energy and environmental finance out in Smurfit.
Did you do a thesis?
No, the thesis, it's a little bit different. They broke it up into little smaller kind of assignments throughout the 2 years, so.
Renewable energy.
Georgie,
Georgie's
like Gary Neville on
Twitter.
Going to
be worth a fortune.
Climate change and all. He's getting stuck in. Have
Georgie? Georgie's number, do you? Make sure you have Georgie's number. He's going to be worth a fortune.
He's an
Georgie, well done, man.
He's an intelligent lad.
Excellent.
I know that's brilliant, Georgie, and I'm delighted that you're going to get it finished up. Are you missing Liam Burt and the boys?
I am, surely. I am indeed. I've been watching them every week.
Yeah. He's actually having a great season.
Yeah, Lee has been flying, actually. Yeah, he's. Real spark, isn't he?
Yeah.
Jesus, anytime he gets the ball.
And Ali Coog as well. They've been great. I'm actually going to get them in, but they've been great, yeah. And it's been a bit up and down. We were only chatting. Have you followed the results, obviously, with Bohemians? You still speak to the lads and all, yeah?
Oh, yeah, I have done. I've watched whenever I could. The McKenna slow enough start again this year. What's your take on it been?
Yeah, we were only chatting about it there a few minutes ago, where like to find themselves in that kind of area where they're fighting it out for the European places with three or four other clubs. But there was a lot of frustration, because obviously I'm down in Daly Mount a fair bit, and there was a lot of frustration.
You're a Bose fan,
in case you haven't noticed, Georgie, he's a fucking Bose fan.
Harry's looking for his jersey, Georgie. You better bring home as well. And the games, there's been a lot of frustration around the club because they slipped up the Finn Harps game. I was out in UCD where they drew 1-1. It was a poor performance as well. And like, even if they got victories in those, they'd be in third position. So it's been frustration around those two or three results. But I was only saying to Stu here, I think there's the makings of a really good team.
But you didn't actually, like what Georgie was asking you, what do you think the issue is? Like,
he didn't ask me the issue.
What do you think the problem is? Well, because you're not there, Georgie, that's what you wanted to say, isn't that right? And keep Buckley and Carmel. The Trees are a big loss of the team, so they're big players to replace.
Well, sure, Georgie's over 20 goals, big shoes to fill. But so what's the plan, Georgie, after the exams? You'll get away on a little holiday then yourself, will you?
There'll not be much of a holiday. I'll not have as much time off as the rest of the lads because I haven't really had a full season, you know. Okay. So I'll have a whole lot of work to be at. But no, I'll be in Donegal anyway for a few weeks.
Okay, very good. Well, if you're in Dublin, you're more than welcome in here. I'm sure you might try and get to a game, will you?
Yeah, well, I'll try to get to a couple of games wherever I can. Yeah, absolutely.
Is Richard Wood still heading cement balls over there, by the way, as well?
he's 37.
You tell him, yeah. I played with Richard Wood 20 years ago and he used to head cement balls. If his head was down on his feet, he would have been some player.
Oh, stop. The machine.
He's still going. Tell him I was asking him, will you, Georgie?
I will do. I will
and Hammy as well. Listen, you've been great with your time. We're absolutely delighted to see a feature at the weekend. Scored a goal as well. An instant hero already at Rotherham.
Yeah, not a bad start. Definitely
yeah, it's good.
Start.
And hopefully, as I say, we wish you well. And we may see you during the summer. But if not, we'll be chatting to you. And thanks for your time.
Not at all. Anytime,
Georgie.
Cheers, Georgie. I'll talk to you there. Good luck.
Great lad. Great. Did you see the goal? He scored a great goal.
No, I didn't see it.
Buried
no.
it. Yeah, right.
It was brilliant.
It was Ogbeni pulled it back to him, buried it, and it was near the end.
Ogbeni's on loan there, is he?
Or no,
is
no,
he, Ogbeni's permanent.
Been fantastic. But obviously everyone's after him now. He pulled it back to him anyway. Georgie buries it, and it was late in the game. They were two up. They knew they were getting promoted anyway, and all the fans ran on the pitch down in the in the corner with him. It was absolutely brilliant.
Just listening to him there, like, you know, it sounds like it obviously has been frustrating for him, and it's a short period of time to kind of make any kind of an impact as well when you think about it. Obviously he hadn't been able to play till February, and then getting injured, but that goal, it just plants a seed in the minds of everybody. Do you know that kind of way? If it hadn't have happened for him, he might have gone a little bit unnoticed. They're going up into the, you know, championship, and then he probably would have been fairly nervous, but the fact that he got his goal certainly settles him in, doesn't it? You know, and it sounds there like he
You know what stuck out for me there as well, Shu? When we spoke about it today, he was in because he has his head well screwed on, and for people listening in terms of combining the education stuff as well, especially if you're kind of at a club where, if no matter what club you're at, but if you have time in your hands to be getting a course,
but
doing whatever.
But Alan, every professional footballer has time on his hands.
I know.
That's their hands, sorry. You know, that's men and women. There's absolutely no excuse. Like, you know, I've often joked to you about Nando's. Like, you know, that's that's what they used to do. Yeah. You can't be doing that stuff anymore.
No.
Like,
and
throwing away a life.
And here he is now on the verge of completing a Masters, which is absolutely brilliant for him. But the thing that stuck out for me there from speaking to him, and I didn't know this, and him giving his perspective on it, just how tough that, like, people, we look down our nose at League One clubs, Shu.
Yeah.
It's ridiculous. League One clubs, Portsmouth, Sunderland,
I don't,
Wigan.
To be fair, right, I know you said we look down our nose at them. I know what you're getting at there. I think we're envious, to be quite honest. I know I am. I'd get a little bit tetchy about, you know why people from here would go over to England, and it does my fucking head, and it really does.
But
I'm envious of it. I am. I'm jealous.
Premier League.
Even Premier League. It's the other divisions as well. Like,
but
you know,
the beauty of them is it's real stuff down there, which I like, and you have real fans going to watch the match and supporting their club. That's fine. But sometimes we look over there at League One. Say Lincoln now, with Georgie mentioned that people might look at a league table, nothing, and see them 17th. Oh, why is Stephen Bradley going over there?
Well, he said it, didn't he? I mean, he said every ground you go to, it's 10,000 minimum plus, like, you know. So
and just what kind of caught me is how difficult it is. He's saying, like, how it's really hard for him to get up to speed, and he was real honest about it. Like,
yeah, well, that's always been the case. Even you know, from when we played, you know, there's always been this. It was well known that Premier League was the Premier League, but the other divisions were tough leagues. Like, you know, I mean, how many games did they play this year? 46?
That's a lot of games, yeah. It's unbelievable.
I mean,
it's a slog.
You know, Morsi would have spoken about it before, and other players, you know, it's literally, well, I remember Wes talking about it, actually. Wes couldn't do it anymore. He had to stop doing it.
Slog.
It was Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday, you know, that kind of stuff. He had to stop playing midweek. He couldn't get through. It was just the physical demands, and it's the length and breadth of the
travelling.
Travelling is huge, yeah.
Stewie, thank you. I'm glad now we spoke to Georgie. He's a great lad, and I'm delighted to see. And hopefully now, and not only that, he's coming home and he's basically going to work on his fitness and go back tip top shape. Georgie will play for Ireland. You heard it here first. Georgie will play for Ireland.
Good luck to him. Yeah.
Can we give a shout out here to Josh Lyons and his dad, Liam, long time listeners. Fair play, lads. Josh made his Northern Ireland debut against Luxembourg and a second appearance as a sub against Peru in a tournament in Albania last month. People might remember Josh scored the winner for Bose in the cup final against Shamrock Rovers in the under 15. So fair play, Josh.
Well done, Josh.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And your dad, Liam.
Congratulations.
But yeah, Stewie, that's great stuff. Thanks very much. That was episode 10. Yeah, we're ranting a little bit.
Where are we?
You were. I was.
I don't remember.
I was in great form.
I can't remember Antlers Head.
It's in great form.
I've had a few glasses of wine before.
But
we can just cut out Antlers Head. No, is don't it? Cut anything out.
No. So there's big games Friday night. Obviously, we mentioned that the game next week, the big one with Shamrock Rovers, Derry's been televised. But this week, Derry are at home to Bowes. Drogheda home to St. Pat's. Tim Clancy, Kevin Doherty facing off against each other. Shelburne against Sligo Rovers. I'll be at that. You come with me. UCD against Dundalk. And Shamrock Rovers at home to Finn Harps. So that's all, folks. Big thanks to Paul Morris, as always. Benetti Menswear, the sponsor, as always. Thank you. And we wouldn't be here without you. People listening as well, hopefully enjoyed the show. Bowes fans enjoyed Georgie. And I'd be interested to hear what Shamrock Rovers fans make of the whole Stephen Bradley Lincoln thing. Watch this space. Stewie, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Cawley's Call, powered by Benetti Menswear. For more interviews like this, please subscribe to my podcast or follow on all my social media channels.